This is the reading for week 5 of START, Counterformation, day 3, titled, The Goal of Counterformation. The new life into which we are baptized is lived out in days, hours, and minutes. God is forming us into a new people, and the place of that formation is in the small moments of today. Tish Harrison Warren. Matthew 4 contains a famous story that begins with Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. As he walked, he saw two fishermen, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. "Follow me," he called out to them, "and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. The next verse says the two men immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. This simple story gives us insight into the process and goal of counterformation into the way of Jesus. Counterformation begins with an invitation. God invites us into a relationship with Him. Jesus affirms and demonstrates His desire to help those far from God know Him throughout the Gospels. Jesus affirms and demonstrates His desire to help those far from God know Him all throughout the Gospels. We need to recognize that God desires for us to know Him. He does not merely tolerate us or allow us into His presence. He invites and welcomes us. The next step in counterformation is our response. In the case of Simon and Andrew, their response to Jesus involved leaving their profession. Answering God's invitation into a relationship with Him will rarely include that sort of life change for us, although it certainly can. But still, this story reminds us that it does involve some life change. Responding to Jesus is not about praying a prayer and remaining unchanged, nor is it about professing belief and continuing on with our lives as if nothing has changed. Remember, we're not talking about mere belief. We're talking about formation. As we consider the state of our counterformation, it may be worthwhile to consider what we have left behind to follow Jesus. In Philippians 3, Paul reflects on his own life and says, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I can press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:13b and 14. We are invited to say yes to Jesus, to turn from our old ways and be transformed by Him. The next step in our journey of counterformation is captured in the final phrase from the story of Simon and Andrew, and it says, "They followed Jesus." They became His students, seeking to learn from Him at every opportunity. This learning wasn't so that they could pass a test or earn a degree. It wasn't even primarily so that they could get into heaven. It was so they could understand and replicate His way of life. That is the essence of Christian discipleship. And we do ourselves and the world around us a disservice if we don't take it seriously. Consider these words from Dallas Willard. "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from Him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence." If that quote strikes you as extreme, take a moment to sit with it. The point Willard makes is that when Christians take Jesus' call to discipleship seriously, it changes our lives so radically that it can change the world. Put differently, our journey of counterformation contributes to the counterformation of the world. There is a remarkable story in Acts 19 about Paul going to the city of Ephesus. Ancient Ephesus was a large, cosmopolitan city known for worshiping the Greek goddess Artemis. When Paul arrives in the city, he and his people start sharing about Jesus. Acts 19 says this goes on for 2 years. And during that time, Jews and Greeks in the city turn away from Artemis and become followers of Jesus. Then look what happens. In Acts 19:23, About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen and similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that the gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only in this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess may be counted as nothing, and she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all of Asia and the world worship." Do you see what happened? As people in Ephesus became Christians, their lifestyles began to change. One specific change they made was that they stopped buying silver statues of Artemis because Paul had helped them see, as the text says, that gods made with human hands are not gods. So many people stopped buying statues that it disrupted the local economy. The point of the story isn't that economic disruption is good. The point is that something was happening in Ephesus that dishonored the Lord. People were buying statues of a pagan goddess, believing them to be representations of that goddess. And as people came to faith in Christ, they stopped buying the statues. Imagine how a community of people counterformed in the way of Jesus could impact society. As we die to ourselves and seek to love God and our neighbor, we can be a force for good in a dark world. The specific words Willard uses to describe the discipleship process and counterformation are instructive. He calls us to steadily learn from Jesus how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens. We never arrive in this life, but we can always steadily learn. That requires intentionality and discipline, but the payoff, a transformed life continuously transforming, is massive. There is always an opportunity to grow when it comes to counterformation in the way of Jesus. There is more to learn, more to discover, more ways to crucify our flesh, more ways to experience intimacy with God, and more ways to put on the character of Christ. This ought not to overwhelm us. Instead, we can let it inspire us to joyfully pursue counterformation and live with greater obedience to Jesus and greater connection to the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Here are a few questions to think of in response. What, in your own words, is the goal of counterformation? What are one or two key takeaways you have from this week's reading? Take a moment to pray about specific actions or steps that you feel God nudging you towards in response to what you've read. What comes to mind as you pray about those things?